washes of dirt and dust. So just as we feel uncomfortable, sometime in i'tikaf, sometime in the path of Allah, 2 days, 3 days, and didn't have a shower as yet, didn't take a bath as yet. More important than the spiritual bath, I must salah for the day. I must further salah with jamaat. So already I'm, we can imagine now how smelly the court of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and how unclean you must your salah for the day, or salah, one salah for the day. So we should feel this discomfort also. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala narrated, said once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked his sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, do you believe that dirt can remain on a person bathing 5 times a day in a stream flowing in front of his door? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we see the method of teaching also, learning and teaching. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked the question. So these are methods that how to keep sahaba ikram attentive for us, to keep us awake. But the question is posed now, now we wake up, start thinking. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had different methods of teaching. He was mu'ithu mu'alliman, or kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam, I've been sent as a mu'allim, as a teacher, the most perfect teacher, and to perfect good character. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was sent to complete, to perfect good character, to teach the ummah. So here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and from here we can understand, as our honorable and beloved Shaykh Azamwan Abdul Hamid Sahib Dam Barakatuhu says, we will read the hadith but you won't see this. So he says, look at this hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the riwayat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he says that once Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked his sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, what does it mean? They were sitting just like this. The Masjid al-Nabi, so majlis was taking place. Majlis, we call it majlis, wa halqa of ta'alim was taking place, but they were sitting all the time. Like how we hear commonly in the path of Allah, that to learn deen we have to come close. And to understand deen we have to go far. To learn deen we have to sit together. Now we learn the deen of Allah. And to understand the deen of Allah, then you have to go out in the path of Allah. And when you speak to others about the deen of Allah, then the heart will begin to open up. Then we begin to understand really what I have learnt. So here Sahaba Ikram was sitting. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And together with that, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says that when he comes to Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they were aqallu dhakallufan. They're the least amount of formalities. It wasn't formal all the time. That they were unable to answer, unable to ask, or they felt shy, or they felt intimidated. They were absolutely, yes, they were those Sahaba ikram, very bashful. They couldn't look at the face of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So each one had their temperament. And other Sahaba ikram, like Ali radiallahu anhu, and other Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they were able to describe every detail of the features of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to the minutest detail. So on this also, once our mirabal Shaykh asked his Shaykh, Zahkim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat in the Majlis, we don't know what to do, look at your face or look down. So Hazrat says, when there's muhabbat and love with someone, then you look at the person, you want to see him. And he says, when there's muhabbat and love from both sides, he says, then there are messages in the eyes. Then there are messages in the eyes, and that will happen, Hazrat says, when there is ittila and ittiba. When the murid will inform the Shaykh of his condition and the Shaykh knows him personally. Like one Shaykh was giving a bayan, and because he knew the murid very well and he had some, won't say issues, but somehow he got now involved in brand names. Buying everything was a brand name. So when the Shaykh was giving the bayan also, he began speaking to a brand name, so he just opened eyes at him. And they both smiled at one another. You know what I'm talking about. So there was muhabbat. He said, there's messages in the eyes. He says, yes, you must let the eyes meet because they are secret messages of muhabbat and love. That is when there is dilli and there is hatli muhabbat between the two. So here Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says that once Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked the sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, do you believe that dirt can remain on a person bathing 5 times a day in a stream flowing in front of his door? No, replied the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, no dirt can remain on his body. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, so exactly similar is the effect of salah offered 5 times a day. They believe this. That person is going to have a bath 5 times a day, he is clean. So they also understood and they heard these words directly from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the person who performs the salah 5 times a day, the effect of the salah will be that his sins will fall off with the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It washes away all sins. 5 times salah washes away all sins. We're repeating the ahadith because when we do the amal of salah, what's very important is to hear the fada'il, to hear the virtue, then to have yaqeen upon the virtue, to believe in it, and then to recall it. What we call istihdarul fada'il, to be conscious of the fadila. So I'm doing the action, I'm conscious of it, I remember, this is the reward I'm getting. And Allah will give it to me, I'm purifying myself, and I'm getting washed, the heart is getting washed. And when a person makes wudu also, then the limbs get washed. The Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that he heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying, the example of the 5 daily salah is like a deep stream flowing in front of the door of a person who bathes in it 5 times a day. Running water is generally free from dirt. Now he also does riwayat, he bathes 5 times a day. But there's some indication there that he's making wudu 5 times a day also. It's mustahab, person, as long as he uses the wudu for salah. As long as he uses the wudu, he has some salah with it. Then it will be mustahab to repeat the wudu. There are masail now, person made wudu at 10 o'clock, the salah time came in, and he didn't perform any salah with that wudu as yet. Then just to repeat the wudu, according to some ulama, is wasting water. Because he hasn't used the wudu as yet. So perform your zuhr salah with the same wudu, hasn't done any ibadat maqsooda. There's some technical terms, you don't know, go into it. So person perform his asr, then maghrib, then isha, be mustahab. And moreover, ulama say, if in between that, if you got engaged in some sin, minor sin also, right? Or major sin, for example, ghibat, then this is mustahab now to renew the wudu. At supper time, you know, what and what we're not talking right now, about who and who. So, it'll be mustahab to repeat the wudu for isha salah. So, it can be 5 times a day that I'm making wudu in the same way, a person will remain absolutely pure and clean physically and spiritually. So when he's making the wudu, he also very important. When I'm making the wudu, I recall the virtue. So my yaqeen increases upon the promises of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Wa'ada or wa'idu par iman yaqeen rakna. Zaruri hai. It is zaruri and necessary for a person to have iman and yaqeen and trust and belief in the warnings and the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I do this, I will get this. And if I do that, which is wrong, then the warning of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So, is all the time is the effort on the heart to link and to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why we sit in the halqas of ta'aleem. And this we are emphasizing over and over and over again. Is not possible, my dear brothers, that after Isha Salah in our masjid, when halqa of ta'aleem is taking place and walking out of the masjid. It can't happen. That halqa of ta'aleem is taking place, the reader is saying, when he's reading the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, our elders say, he has become the mouthpiece of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and is quoting his words. The simple halqa of ta'aleem in reality is a majlis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not your sheikh. But my sheikh's majlis, I'll run for it. But that majlis of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, I'll walk past it. It can't happen. Even if I'm in a hurry also, at least one hadith I listen to for the day. And our elders say, this is our dose of hidayat for the day. It's a dose of hidayat. Doctor says you have to have this dose. You have to take it, the whole family is behind you. Make sure you take your cholesterol tablets, as Dr. Sabal. 40 milligrams, 20 minutes, depending on the reading. If it's very high like mine, then you have to take the 40 milligrams. But there's no reading. I'm an imani reading. They can't even find where is it. There's no reading there right now. I have to sit in the halqa of ta'aleem. So I have to listen over and over and over again till my iman increases and yaqeen comes upon the promises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh, I'm just doing the wudu. I'm just doing the wudu, the performing the salah, but can't recall one virtue. That is why I have to sit over again and we don't know which moment of my life of that halqa of ta'aleem will hit the heart. And yaqeen will come, Allah Ta'ala put it in our heart. You came to get your medication in the halqa of ta'aleem, Allah will give the medicine. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will prescribe it and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will dispense it also. Because if you come for it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it. So sitting in the halqa of ta'aleem is showing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala my desire. Showing Allah my desire of hidayat. That I want hidayat. And walking away shows to Allah, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي Hazrat quotes ayat also. The person who makes a'raz, who turns away from my remembrance. He turned away from my remembrance. There was halqa of ta'aleem taking place, he turned away from it. So Allah Pak says, فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ He will have a very constrained life. On the day of Qiyamah, he will be raised blind. You had eyes, you could see. This refers more to Quran Sharif, that he forgot his Quran. But the words are also am and mutlaq. The words are general. This was a reminder for your deen, for iman and amal. If I don't do it, don't expect my son to do it. He's not going to sit in the halqa of ta'aleem. He won't do it at home, also will be very difficult, and he won't do it in the masjid either. He'll regard it as something trivial, nothing serious. This is the amal of the masjid of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. We all want to get there, we all want to go there. But before we go, this are the amal of the masjid. Now when we go to Masjid al-Nabawi, now we'll do the amal that took place in Masjid al-Nabawi. But these a'mal our elders have given us are very, very important a'mal and full of spirituality and ruhaniyat. So this is what the mashayikh are saying by sitting in the halqa of ta'aleem, sit in the programs, you don't know when hidayat will hit the heart. So running water is generally free from dirt. And the deeper it runs, the cleaner and purer it is. A bath in such a water surely removes dirt from the body and makes it clean. Salah read properly also cleanses the soul of all sins. The Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that he heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying, each of the five salah cancels the sins committed since the salah before it. So I'm coming for Zuhur salah, whatever happened from Fajr till now, it cancels all the sins. As long as he says, I come with the proper wudu and proper salah also. Not my own wudu, my own salah. Proper wudu meaning as shown to me by Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And salah, sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. They perform salah as you see me performing salah. The much detail in the hadith also, where Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, perform salah as you see me performing salah. How am I going to do that? I cannot see Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So Honorable Shaykh explains this also. Like how we have our chain for a hadith, goes right up to Shah Waliullah Muhaddis Dehlavi Rahmatullah Alayh. This is my chain of narration for my ustaz. So his ustaz going up. I learned ahadith. Then we get Musalsal bil Awwaliyya. Different types of ahadith. The first hadith, my ustaz heard from his ustaz. He heard from his ustaz. Going up to the Sahabi, he says, I heard this hadith first from Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam. And he comes down. So we have a whole chain. We have a whole chain. Balighu anni. That now narrate from me, convey from me. نذر الله إمرا سميعا مقالتي ووعاه يا الله تعالى keep the person fresh and healthy who hears my hadith and he preserves it and he passes it on. They're getting all the du'as, so we have a chain. Tasawwuf also we have a chain. We have our silsila. So Hazrat says in the same way for salah also we have to have our sanad. The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said perform salah as you see me. So how am I going to do that? Those that learn salah from their mashayikh, they learn from their mashayikh and their asatiza and their sheikh. When they write up, now I learned it from him, I got my sanad. I got my sanad and I made amal upon the hadith. So I learned salah from someone. Like how we learned from our honorable sheikh, Dhamma Barakatuh. He made his line up. He taught us how to perform salah. Then our sheikh al hadith, other asatiza in the class would line us up and show us how you perform salah. So to say now, they authorized us, gave us ijazah. Then now your salah to a certain extent is correct, but then too you begin to falter as you move on. It's a renewal all the time. You have to check your salah. So a perfect salah. This today we made some mudakara with the brothers also in regards to salah. And I feel it very, very important also that we repeat it now and we show the brothers. Otherwise we'll just speak about it, but there's no action. And we want that with the ta'aleem, there's some amal also. So he also recently, how many years he performing salah and doing imamat, and we feel our salah is correct. And we speak about khushu in salah. Alladheena bi salatihim khashi'oon. Those that have khushu, concentration in salah, concentration and devotion, they are devoted to the Salah. And in the tafsir of the ayat, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma says, what is khashi'un? Where a person's heart is absolutely at tranquility and his limbs are absolutely motionless. That Salah is Salah of concentration. This motionless in Salah is absolutely lost right now. To be absolutely motionless, a person not moving whatsoever. This afternoon we did the brothers a bit, and we told them try for 5 seconds to be motionless and see how difficult it is. And we'll demonstrate to the brothers also, whether we get a chance again, we might have just show the brothers when it comes to being motionless in Salah, where we were taught that a person stands facing the Qibla, feet 4 fingers apart, facing towards the Qibla. If a person is a bit hefty and is mashallah, then it may be difficult 4 fingers apart, but at least the feet are towards the Qibla, the Markaz, Baytullah. When he's standing also in Salah, now we know commonly we're standing, we're trying to have a concentration, but then too, the hands still move, the shoulders still move, the legs move. Motionless means a person stands absolutely motionless. No movement, that is khashi'un. Goes into ruku, there's no movement. And as we're sitting now, my dear brothers, I appeal to the brothers, just change your posture for 5 seconds for tashahud, how you should be sitting. And just sit like that for 5 seconds without moving your fingers, without moving your limbs, without moving your head up and down, without moving your shoulders. And see how easy it is. Try it, my dear brothers. At least 5 seconds. See, we can keep that concentration for just 5 seconds. It's a bit burdensome. And now for the whole duration of tashahud and durud and then dua at the end, to remain like that completely. Very difficult, we are not accustomed to it. For years we are performing Salah. But then with some movement, the shoulder will move, the head will go up and down, the fingers will move a bit. But I got concentration. There's no concentration. That is why our elders told us, if your Salah is perfect, your life will be perfect. If you are motionless in Salah, your eyes are fixed where you should be at the base of Sajda, in Ruku on your feet, in Sajda at your at the tip of your nose, in tashahud upon your lap, making salam on the shoulders, your eyes are focused, your hands are correctly tied, everything. Out of salah, you'll be focused also. Out of salah, you'll walk straight also. Out of salah, you'll speak straight also. Our entire life depends upon salah. That is why when you go in the path of Allah, there's two things they carry on making mention of. Kalima namaz, kalima namaz, kalima namaz, kalima. Get your kalima, iman, yaqeen, get your salah right. Your whole life will come right. Your whole life will come right. So this, we just try this Ramadan at least, just to get that motionless perfected in my salah. Where there's no movement whatsoever. And you find it in the beginning not so easy. I feel now restricted. That is why this is Sahaba Ikram, because the salah was so perfect. This spilled over into their life also. So when they sat in the bayan in the halqa of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they were motionless. To the extent the birds will come and perch on their heads. It wasn't difficult for them. And we know in the bayan we can't sit still. We can't sit still. And if they had to diagnose us, they might say you got ADHD in the bayan. Just can't sit still. This way, that way. Because the salah isn't right. The salah just has to come right. Salah just has to come right, then we'll find at home we'll sit properly also, we'll speak properly, we'll know how to speak, because Salah has an effect. Allah Ta'ala just gives one ayat, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Salah prevents a person from lewd actions, shameless actions and evil actions. Salah will do it for you. That Salah when is done right. The Salah is done right, automatically it will pull you away. I'll take you away from evil company. When my salah is correct, my feet are straight towards the Qibla, so I'll walk straight out of salah also. Yes, nafs and shaitan will try. They'll pull you away, but then to my feet is going towards Qibla, because it's connected. When I'm making Kabira Tahreema, here also they say the reason why we face the palms towards the Qibla, Kabira Tahreema, because they are connecting to Baytullah. We're drawing the nur from the Baytullah into our bodies. Allahu Akbar. You're pulling all the nur and tajalli of Allah. And some ulama before, the way they would make takbir also. The correct way, yes, they would do the correct way, raise their hands. When they would raise it, they would say, Allahu Akbar. Throw dunya away. Throw the dunya away. Allahu Akbar. Now I'm all embracing Allah. Now I'm in a different world altogether. That is real salah. And salah is the dimensions of it, the depth of it. There's no end to it. There's no end. The person will get more and more into salah, get more enjoyment. He doesn't want the salah to end. Allah Ta'ala, give us a real salah of how our elders explained to us what salah should be like. At least we can practice two rakats. Therefore, we explained to the brothers this afternoon that if you can just get two things, practice in the last few days of Ramadan, just to be emotionless in salah, number one, and number two, which we hear about, but years have gone past, and we're still reciting in salah three times only, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. We're still on the starter pack, we didn't go on contractors yet. Still Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. When I said Ahmed Khansab, Rahimullah will say that three times Subhana Rabbi al-Azim is for the Musafir, who's traveling, he's in a rush. For the Muqim, his dunya revolves around his salah. Sahaba Ikram used to give time to the business from the masjid, not from the business giving time to the masjid. Hazrat says, if you give time to the masjid from your business, then your business is dunya. And if you give time to your business from the masjid, I'm going to come back over here, then in reality, you're just bypassing. You're going business to do your work, and I'm checking the time, sells over time, just my asr time. That business now is actually your deen also, because it's facilitating your deen. So he's just going to be there to do the work, and I'm back in the masjid again. So his entire day is in the path of Allah, like Sahaba radiallahu anhu. So their dunya also became deen. So Allah Ta'ala give us a reality. So these two things, one is to become motionless in salah, and the second thing is at least in the day, one, two rakats of salah, increase the amount of tasbihat. The Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, at least five times, seven times. And then two, now we are discussing it, and you say, right, I'll do it. And when we start that salah, we got in mind, I will increase it, but when you go into ruku, after the third time, you're already coming up, hey, I forgot. I'm supposed to read two more. Not accustomed to it. We saw now, program ourselves, that just after three, we'll get up. So it'll take some time to reprogram the mind. Hold on, wait. Make it five now. Make it seven. Make it nine. Until I feel a connection with Allah Tabarak. At least one set of two rakats in the day. Increase the tasbihat and longer time in salah and perfect the salah with motionless and then see the effects of it after that. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq inshallah. We copy this riwayat. So each of the five salah cancels the sins, the committed sins, the salah before it. To explain, let us take the case of a person working in a factory. His job is such that his body gets covered with dust. But there are five streams of running water in between the factory and his house. On his return, he takes a bath in each stream. The effect of the five daily salah is quite similar. Any sins committed between two salahs are forgiven because of the istighfar and tawbah in each salah. We make istighfar after far salah also three times. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Then we read salah. Why are you making istighfar? Ya Allah, I couldn't read salah as you wanted it. So through barakat of istighfar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cover up all the shortcomings in it. And the person makes tawbah also. What Ilyas Abrahimullah will say, that make tawbah istighfar upon the good a'mal also. That is the completer of it. And then you go to the level of saying, make tawbah istighfar upon istighfar also. Ya Allah, I don't know how to make istighfar. Like how Shaykh taught us, to thank Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. To thank Allah for His ni'mat and His bounty that He's given us. He made us insan. He didn't make us some insects or some reptiles. He made us the best of makhluqat in creation. He gave us intelligence. Ya Allah Ta'ala gave us iman. Allah made us ummati of Nabi Ali salatu wasalam. Allah Ta'ala gave us families. Allah Ta'ala gave us homes. Allah Ta'ala gave us taste buds. We can see different colors. We can hear different things. Oh, let's see, how are you going to thank Allah? No matter how much you thank Allah, is never sufficient. Then Hazrat said, then how do you thank Allah? How do you fulfill the haqq of thanking Allah tabarak wa ta'ala? You say, in the time in your life, after you enumerate for years, Ya Allah, you've given me the rice, you've given me the water, you've given me the taste, you've given me the biscuits and the pies and the savour. Count all the bounties of Allah. Ya Allah, how I just fall asleep. You have ni'mat. I don't battle to sleep at night. My eyes is closed. When I wake up in the morning, Hazrat says to, when you woke up in the morning, you don't have some nerve pain or something happened to your brain. You just wake up, spring up, and you're moving again. Not even thinking, Ya Allah, I'm so healthy, Alhamdulillah. And somebody who has some problem, handicap, look at him, how difficult his life has become. He has a stroke or something, I'm just moving. No shukr, nothing whatsoever. So Hazrat says, count the bounties of Allah, till in your life the time comes, when it comes naturally on your tongue, and you say to Allah, Ya Allah, I don't know how to thank you, now you fulfill the haqq of shukr. Ya Allah, I don't know how to thank you, I don't have the words, now you've realized. What you've realized, that I have to thank Allah, but I can't do it. I can't do it. Ya Allah, I'm broken. I don't know what to say. I just can't thank you. Now you fulfill the haqq of Allah Ta'ala's ni'mas. You don't have the words. Say, Ya Allah, all praise belongs to you. All praise, I'm your slave and the slave of all your ni'mas and bounties. Abdul Ihsan. I'm the slave of your ihsan and your kindness. If somebody is kind to you, then how you treat that person with honor and respect? Ya Allah, I'm the slave of your ihsan. And that your ihsan is not just now and then. It's every single moment of my life. Whether it is to blink my eyes, whether it is now to take a breath also, and to exhale also, that I need Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Rather say, look at that person, COVID time, they couldn't breathe. Ya Allah, ask the doctors, they tell you. How they were battling for, just for air only. At that time, Allah ta'ala gave tawfiq, went to Shifa Hospital. Went to meet a person. And his chest was infected. And he was load shedding. As he walked in, and he's shouting his wife, put the fan on, put the fan on. She was in electricity, I can't breathe, put the fan on. Put it next to my face. See, he's panting for breath. Panting for breath, and we're breathing normal. Just couldn't get enough air into his lungs. Then you realize, Ya Allah, I'm just breathing normal. And not only me, yeah, look at my children. All are normal, walking, they can breathe, and they can play, and they can jump. The time comes in my life, Ya Allah, I am a slave of your ihsan. I am a slave of your bounties and your kindness, Ya Allah. My head belongs to you. Finish, period. Doesn't belong to anybody else. Now to a certain extent, you fulfill the haqq of Allah Ta'ala shukr. Allah Ta'ala give us a reality. So istighfar and tawbah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam through such examples is showing us that salah has a wonderful power of removing sins. If we fail to attain Allah's mercy, surely we ourselves are the losers. To make a mistake is human. We are likely to commit many sins and deserve His punishment. But look how forgiving our dear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. He has most beautifully shown us the way to earn His mercy and forgiveness. Just perform your salah. Here also, when a person, when he dresses up, he puts on his clothes. There are du'as to be read, Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي كَسَانِهِ وَرَزَّقَنِهِ مِنْ غَيْرِ حَوْلٍ مِنِّي وَلَا قُوَّةٍ. He's putting on his clothes, he's praising Allah. Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي كَسَانِهِ هَذَا. Oh, I praise to Allah who gave me these clothes to wear. وَرَزَّقَنِهِ, Allah Ta'ala gave me rosy sustenance. بِغَيْرِ حَوْلٍ مِنِّي, without any effort from my side. Without any power, strength from my side, only from Allah it came. And the person who reads this dua upon wearing clothing, Allah forgives all his sins. So Hazrat mentions this also, the Mawlana Osman Kadwa Sahib from Barakatuhu or from Zinto. So he asked his Shaykh, Haji Farooq Sahib Rahmatullah, Hazrat, where's the link? Where's the link now putting on clothes and forgiveness of sins? Now, look at it outwardly, I didn't really do anything. So Haji Farooq Sahib Rahmatullah mentioned, he says, that is the great kindness of Allah. That Allah wants to forgive you for wearing clothes also. Allah wants to forgive you for wearing clothes and taking His name. On that too, I'll make you maaf. See, how merciful is He's looking for opportunities just to forgive you. So salah, we can imagine now, all sins are forgiven if we do it correctly. And Allah knows best after which salah we're going to pass away. And I got it, Alhamdulillah. The sins are forgiven. I'm going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the minor sins. I mean, tawbah, the major sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always eager to show us with His mercy for every small thing we do. It is said in a hadith, that if a person goes to bed with the intention of getting up for tahajjud, and somehow does not wake up, he receives the full reward for tahajjud. Genuinely had a niyyat to wake up. Said the alarm also. But he couldn't make it because of his niyyat. Allah Ta'ala gives him the full reward for tahajjud salah. Although he has been enjoying his sleep at the time of tahajjud, how wonderful is the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This, sometimes brothers abuse this virtue. I wanted to go for 3 days, Jamaat left me. But you didn't make an effort to, you didn't ask when they're leaving. But they're sleeping Thursday night in the masjid, they went. No, I thought they'll tell me, but you weren't sincere. But you're going to miss your flight, then you would have sat on the agent's back. But because now, Jamaat, I'll see you next month now. But I had niyat to go. So Hazrat says, use the same niyat for your supper and lunch also. I supposed to eat, I didn't make it now, so. But you got the sawab, don't worry. No. Take out the food now. So go join the Jamaat, do daftari also. Daftari meaning now, I'll join them in the night, then come back to work, then go again. At least something I'll do. But when it comes to food, then that now I want my full quota. I want my full quota, and if I don't get it, I get upset also. Sahaba Ikram got upset when they got left behind. They went into depression. So that came first in their life, the fikr of deen. Allah Ta'ala give us the reality also. But this is now nafil ibadah, remember. This is for the fajr namaz. I had need to wake up, I couldn't wake up. I'll get the sahab for it. No way. This is a nafil now. For that fajr salah, you have to wake up. Although he has been enjoying his sleep at the time of tahajjud, how wonderful is the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a tremendous loss if we do not receive blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from here we can understand from the beautiful words of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. These ahadith, if you just ponder a bit, when I said Ahmad Khan Sahib rahimullah, who was the Amir of Hijaz in Saudi Arabia, in the effort of da'wah and tabligh, he would explain that these ahadith, if we sit with an open heart, indirectly we will begin to understand the system of Allah. How Allah's system operates and works. He says this is where major portion of the ummah is in blindness. We don't know the system of Allah. Dunya system we have mastered. Open any topic. And the brother knows about this also. He knows about that also. He knows about, and in details he knows everything. But the system of Allah, they are not sure, I don't know. If I understand this, then I won't get left behind. For example, when Ihsan Sahib and Raymond give the example of Nu'man bin Bashir, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a Sahabi of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and he was suhbat yafta, meaning now he spent time in the companionship of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Simple Sahabi. He was the Amir of the Jamaat. They went out in the path of Allah in jihad. So he lined up all the mujahideen, Sahaba Ikram, and he told them, when I say the first takbir, make wudu. When I say the second takbir, make a sufuf, your rows. When I say the third takbir, then you must fire. So the enemies were lining up. So he sounded the first takbir. Sahaba Ikram made the wudu. And then he sounded the second takbir. Then they made the sufuf and the rows. Now they're ready with the ammunition, bow and arrow and spears. And as he's looking at them, he's looking at the enemy. Enemy began to fire, full blast with rage. And he's still holding back and he's looking at the sky, looking at the sky, looking at the sky. And already now, the arrows of the enemies are already falling upon Sahaba Ikram and the Mujahideen. They lost a few men already. And they're still waiting and they're looking at his face. They give the first takbir. Because they understood now the obedience to the Amir. You can't just do your own thing. Allah Ta'ala's hand of help and assistance with the Jama'ah. So they're looking at him and he's looking at the sky. Looking at the sky and they're still firing away. Finally he gave the third takbir. In a short span of time, they won the battle. Then they came to him, Mr. Nu'man. What happened? We have a few casualties. Why you held back? So he says, I was in the company of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And Nabi of Allah mentioned that a certain time in the day, when the Mujahideen are in the Sufuf, a certain time in the day towards midday, where the door of help of Allah opens in the skies. I was waiting for that moment. So upon this, when Ihsan Sahib mentioned, they knew the unseen system of Allah. That system they knew. And when he got booty in the jihad, part of the booty was he got a princess. Became part of his mali ghanimat. And the whole church in Madina Munawwara, that Nu'man got one bandi, Steve girl, she's a princess. So they all are very excited for him. So one of his friends came and offered him that I'll buy her from you. I'll buy her from you. She was a princess. So they're talking. So he knew was the Nu'man when he came to dunya how intelligent he was. So he told him, I'll give you 10 100 dirhams. 10 by 100 dirhams. 10 by 100 dirhams. So he began to calculate. 10 by 100 dirhams, a lot of money there. He said, I've done. So he sold her. But the other friends came around. No man, who's your princess? No, he sold her. Made a big profit. Say, how much he sold her for? Sold her by 10 by 100 dirhams. I mean, 1,000. There's 1,000 there. He said, you sold her for free. So I didn't realize. I thought 10 by 100. So when Ihsan Sahib mentioned, when he came into dunya, he didn't know. But he came to unseen system of Allah, that he knew. That was Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Other example he gave, when Sahaba ikram into Sham, Syria. And they heard in Sham, they've got the best of foods. Alladhi barakna hawlahu, full of barakat. So Sahaba ikram conquered Sham also. So one Sahabi, he heard about the rotis of Sham, full of ghee. They were having barley bread, unsifted bread. Very, very difficult to eat and dry. And here now was fine wheat, and it was baked bread. And they always heard about the bread of Sham. So he's partaking of that bread, first time in his life, very fine flour and well baked also. So see, as he's partaking of the bread, and his friends are sitting around him, so he's looking at his biceps, looking at his body. Every time he takes a bite, he's looking at his body. They ask him, what happened? He said, no, I heard when you eat the bread of Sham, you pick up weight. I'm just seeing what I'm picking up. See, it doesn't mean like that. But how simple-minded, but they conquered Sham. Because they knew the unseen help of Allah, how it moves with them. See, we have mastered dunya. So they don't know the system of Allah. They knew the system of Allah, and dunya chased them. Dunya came behind them. They ate it, they digested it, and they moved on. What was the next taqaza? When we're moving again. So they didn't get stuck in dunya. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding also when it comes to the system of Allah. Women folk at home also, to understand the system of Allah. That what Allah wants from me, how can I please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And with pleasing Allah, this is the greatest achievement. Supreme success is the achieving the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala grant us also inshallah. Brothers can have a break, have some refreshments as we mentioned, to get refreshed inshallah. And then we can come back, we'll try before 11 o'clock, we don't want to sleep too late tonight inshallah. Don't sleep too late. Means late, but not too late, inshallah. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, subhanallah. Inshallah. Stop for a moment.